Hello, this is Matthew Hennessy, and welcome to the City Journal podcast. I'll be speaking for the next few minutes with City Journal contributing editor Nicole Gelinas. Nicole, it's always good to talk to you.
Good morning, Matthew. Thanks for having me back.
We're going to be speaking about Nicole's most recent article for the magazine, Gotham's Tourist Boom, which you can read online now. Nicole, as everyone knows, the 2008 financial collapse really devastated the American economy and the tourist economy especially. But as you note in the article, New York City's recovery from that collapse in terms of economic growth and jobs has been much, much better than other parts of the country. Why is that? Much, much faster and better than the rest of the country.
Yes. It took America as a whole until just about a year ago to recover the nearly 9 million jobs lost in the recession. And we should have been creating jobs that whole time. So now we've got a jobs deficit of, you know, 3 million, maybe a little bit bigger than that. But New York City, on the other hand, we recovered all of our lost jobs in the recession way back in 2011. And now we're 11% higher than we were back in 2000. So the city is doing much, much better than the rest of the country's economy. Why is that? It might be natural to think, oh, it's Wall Street. Wall Street has been doing well. But Wall Street jobs are still below what they were in 2008. The industries that have been creating jobs are the tourism industries, hotels, restaurants, retail, entertainment industry, whether it's Broadway or other arts and culture. Why are those industries doing well? Because in the rest of the country, restaurants, stores, theaters, shows, they depend on local demand. And so if people's house prices fell, if they owe too much money on their mortgages and other debt, they're not going out to eat, they're not buying clothes. All of these industries took a huge, huge hit and really still haven't recovered. New York, on the other hand, we don't depend as much on local spenders. The people in our restaurants, in our stores, in our theaters, a lot of them are foreigners, and they're from parts of the world that did not suffer as much during the recession. And so in a lot of the country, you can't export your restaurant and your retail sales. New York can export these industries in a way where we're selling them to Chinese visitors, to Brazilian visitors. And in that way, we escaped the brunt of the recession.
So how many of those visitors that come to New York are Chinese and Brazilian and foreign tourists, as opposed to domestic American tourists who, as you point out, are still struggling and still trying to put the pieces together?
That's a good question. We'll have about 54 million visitors, 55 million this year. It seems like sometimes they're all here on certain days to come visit the Christmas tree. And out of those 54, 55 million, about 20-21% will be foreign visitors. But the foreign visitors tend to spend a lot more money when they're here. They're only 20% of the visitors, but they're close to half of our spending. MasterCard analysis says foreigners spend more here than they do in any other global city except for London. Why do they spend more? Because it takes longer to get here, so they spend more time here. They're here for more days than a person who comes from Pennsylvania. And they're also wealthier. You know, it is expensive to come here from China, from Brazil. This is the new upper middle class of the emerging markets, saved up money to bring their family here, and they want to buy expensive things. They want to eat expensive meals. They want to have a good time.
So what are the things there? What are the big draws? What are they coming to do when they come to New York City?
Well, the cliche is that people come to see the Empire State Building, Central Park, Times Square, see a Broadway play. And the cliche is the cliche because it's true. That is what people want to do. They want to take a horse ride through Central Park. They want to take in a show like Phantom of the Opera, particularly a show where you don't have to understand English perfectly to get the point of the show. And foreign visitorship to Broadway is at record levels. And you do see more and more people, particularly people for whom this is not their first trip to New York. I talked to some young French people who said they were going to go to Brooklyn, going to go to Harlem. So you see people go out to the Barclays Center, venture beyond Manhattan. But the bulk of what they do is what New Yorkers would consider touristy things to do.
So all of these jobs that you're talking about being created, are they all on Broadway? Are they all in hotels in the middle of Manhattan? How broadly does that job growth extend throughout the five boroughs of New York?
Well, it extends pretty broadly. And there's another myth that these are all low-wage jobs. And that really is a myth. If you work in a hotel, first of all, if you manage a big Marriott or a big Hilton in New York City. This is a hard logistical job. You are dealing with security. You're dealing with people who get sick, people who have problems. You have all kinds of things to do. And these are six-figure jobs. These are not, you know, low-wage tourist industry jobs. But even if you are a door person at one of these big hotels, you're making a good, solid middle-class salary. Housekeepers make well into the mid five figures because of the strength of the private sector union, but also because the foreign visitors here keep our room rates so high that the hotels can afford these union deals. But it's not only the jobs that deal directly with tourists. If you come in here on a 7-hour flight, you've got to eat a meal on your airplane. You've got Flying Food, the catering company out at JFK. They've got 500 jobs, up from 380 half a decade ago, of people making food for people to eat on the airplanes. And these are, you've got an executive chef in charge of a very large kitchen serving more than 50 flights a day. And so you've got jobs that people don't see, but they're very important jobs, and they are creating employment and activity for people far out in the outer boroughs without them having to come into Manhattan.
Let's go back in time a little bit and talk about some of the things that New York City government has done to help foster this growth in tourism. 30, 40 years ago, maybe the average European tourist or the average Chinese tourist, if such a thing existed then, would maybe have a different impression of New York City than the modern day tourist would.
Yes, you go back, say, take the 1980s. I interviewed Mike Stengel, who was in charge of the Marriotts here in New York before he left for a promotion down in the D.C. area. He said when he came here back when the Marriott Marquis was about 5 years old, it opened in 1985, people would say, they wouldn't say it's in Times Square. They would say it's in Midtown Manhattan. And they would also say, you never have to leave the hotel. There's a restaurant. There's things to do in the hotel. You don't have to walk around.
And they wouldn't say it was in Times Square because that was associated.
It was considered dangerous, and it was dangerous. And we had some high-profile crimes. The murder of Brian Watkins on the subway right up by Central Park was a crime in the early 1990s that garnered national attention.
He was a tourist from Utah.
He was stabbed protecting his family. This was what helped to get New York on the cover of Time, saying the rotten apple. And so
sense was people, that if you go to New York City on your vacation, you just might get killed.
Yes, it was not. I mean, not that it was common to be killed here, but people had the perception correctly that this was not a good place to take your family. You'd be harassed by beggars. You'd be scammed with three-card Monty, and so you didn't want to come here. And that all started to change, obviously, in the early 1990s with the crime turnaround. We started to get both more domestic visitors and also the huge increase in foreign visitors because A, New York was considered safer, and B, the growth in the middle class in a lot of these emerging markets countries, China, Brazil. The people in these countries all want to come to New York. New York is America's only global city, really.
Speaking of global cities, how does New York compare in terms of the percentages of tourists that come here as opposed to, like, what are they choosing from? And we're going to go to New York, or we're going to go to Berlin, or we're going to go to Cairo? I mean, what's New York's competition out there?
Yes. In terms of American cities, we get almost a third of visitors coming to the U.S. And you look at other cities that do well in attracting foreign visitors, Los Angeles, Miami, they're more like 10% of foreigners coming to America. And so we do much better, partly because of location so close to Europe, and just partly because if you come here from another part of the world, you could find people here who speak your language. People feel comfortable
more so than in
coming to New York. It is closer to what people experience in foreign capital cities, whether it's London, Paris, or Beijing. We look a lot like the rest of the world, and so we are a good place to start if you want to come and visit America.
Okay, so your article is called Gotham's Tourism Boom. The subtitle is International Visitors Have Driven the City's Economic Recovery, But Will They Keep Coming? So what is that about? Will they keep coming?
Well, there's a lot of things to think about here. First of all, there's the global economy. A sustained slowdown in China and Brazil obviously means people have less money. Fewer people can take these big trips. You know, if China seizes Saks Fifth Avenue, catches a cold. And so that's one thing to worry about. We can't do much about it, but it's something to think about. The fact that the euro was much, much stronger than the dollar for a long time encouraged Europeans to come here. Does that reverse and does that make a big difference? But there are certainly things under our own control. Transportation infrastructure. Our two major airports are really getting full. We can't bring a lot more long-haul flights in here. We need airport upgrades. We also need upgrades to the ground transportation. In almost any other global city, you have a good rail link from the airport to the central city. It's better than it was 15 years ago with the AirTrain, but we still don't really have a first-class city one-seat ride. And then, you know, other things to think about are people come here because we are unique. If we begin, start to look like other parts of the country and the world where we have all the same chain stores, all the same restaurants, it does become less attractive.
That's what you mean when you say that the city needs to resist the temptation to favor the tourist industry. Is that what you're talking about? Just giving it certain advantages such that it ends up...
Yeah, that's part of it. And if you look at cities that really focus on tourism, they haven't recovered as well. You know, look at Las Vegas. They only recovered their tourist numbers last year, and they're still dependent on domestic tourists who
don't. Is that because they don't offer really anything other than a tourist experience that can be had?
I think they're trying to become more of a traditional city. You know, they realize this vulnerability, but for a long time, they certainly were. You know, you go to Las Vegas to gamble. You don't really go there for anything else. In New York, you come here because it's an interesting city. And the reason it's interesting is because the people who live or work here do interesting things in other fields, whether it's finance, arts, entertainment, the tech industry. You know, we want to live and work in an interesting city, which also makes it interesting to visit.
Well, of course, one of the most interesting people in New York City is Nicole Gelinas herself. I want to thank Nicole for joining me.
Thank you.
I also want to thank Natalie Nakamura for engineering this podcast. I'm Matthew Hennessy, and on behalf of all of City Journal, thanks for listening.
Thank you, Matthew.